and really the great example that you can give to them is by, well, allowing them to see a great example of how you love Jesus. And boy, doesn't that work? Now I'm going to go off this mic, and I'm going to go on this mic. And have we done that yet? Am I hitting the right button? Test. I can never see what my hand is doing. There you go. All right. Well, I love hearing my wife sing. She is a blessing to our family. It's a great thing to be able to be partnered with somebody who can lift up their voice and sing to the Lord and praise and worship the Lord. And that is a tremendous thing I love. I love to let the Lord be praised and let worship flow through me so I can even help lead others in worship. And, you know, the qualifications of a pastor that was preached on and spoke on in our life group that we had earlier are things that are needed for every position of the church ministry. And the children, as Pastor Rustis said, are very vulnerable, and they'll believe really anything. I mean, I convinced my younger sister once that they bred chickens without heads. Children will believe anything, okay? I'm not going to convince your children that, okay? But the reality is, when you actually stand before children, you have a great nucleus that is in front of you that can really, you know, potentially do some great things for God. And one of the things that, some of the things that keep us from doing great things from God don't have to be developed in them, so they can just serve God with all their heart and their soul and their mind, and they love it. And boy, wouldn't it be great if we can capture that childlike faith and just keep it going into adulthood, right? Capture it and really hold on to it so that, you know, as we go into our trials and our insecurities and our doubts, we could, like a little child, just have faith that God's going to work everything out. I think one of the biggest things that transitions in the lives of humans is they grow out of being children and they can become self-dependent. They become dependent on themselves, and that's one of our biggest obstacles, isn't it? When we become so self-dependent that we don't let God do what he needs to do. Even Jesus said we should have faith like a what? Little child. Right? So, what an opportunity. This morning, though, as we look into the message that God has prepared in my heart, I think this is, in a way, comical. I stepped into church this morning. I was talking with Pastor Jordan, and he let me know that, you know, they basically preached on the same passage last week. So I thought, oh, no. So now we're going to review. So here's our review that we're going to have from last week's message. So I hope you were paying attention. Matter of fact, I'll preach the first point, and then we'll have you speak the second point. Does that? No, we're not going to do that. As a matter of fact, here's the blessing of God's word. You can develop several messages from the same verse many times. Because the Bible is alive. The Bible is a living, breathing, you know, word from God. And we are so thankful that even though God directs our heart to the same passage, I'm sure that God has helped us go to a different portion or a different thought process among that passage. Aren't you glad that you can read the Bible over and over and over again and sometimes get different truths from the same passage as you grow and as you mature? Isn't it great? And one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament is Ephesians chapter 2. And it reminds me of where I was before Christ. And it reminds me of where he wants to take me or what he has deemed me to be. And then I look at this passage and I say that where I am is not where God is. Sometimes in my life, I feel like this is not where God has, you know, or where I have attained yet. And then I have to remind myself that God's not done working with me. I think one of the most dangerous things in a Christian's life is when they think that they know more than, well, they know enough to where God does not have to work with them anymore. Boy, that's a tragedy. If you ever get to a point where you think you have mastered Christianity, then really that just shows you haven't. That just shows we haven't, doesn't it? The reality is we're all a work in progress, and the title of my, you could say, message this morning is We Are All a Masterpiece in Progress. And we're going to pretty much focus on just one verse of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I believe last week you did a whole like overview of the whole chapter. We're going to really focus on, I believe, what could be the transitional verse for Ephesians chapter 2. Let me explain. We got in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, that God loved us, that God gave us life in Ephesians 2, verse 5, that God has secured us. You know, He quickened us. He made us alive. And He secured our future in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. And then, of course, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, that God has secured our salvation by grace through faith, not of ourselves, right? It's a gift of God, not of works. And we have these wonderful verses of where we were before God quickened us, made us alive, and made us His children. Then we read, if we skip over verse 10, we read that now the riches in Christ Jesus, the position we now hold, now that we have become children of God, now we have access to God by one Spirit in verse 18. We are fellow citizens with the saints in verse 19. We are of the household of God also in verse 19. We are, I love this, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone in Ephesians 2:20. That's like, wow, that's me? We are builded together, verse 22, for an habitation of God through the Spirit. These are all out of Ephesians chapter 2, so if you're finding your way there, this is kind of like the overview, so to speak. These things that we have, we'll call them riches in Christ Jesus, so to speak, are a result of our conversion, our salvation. And then we have this verse, I believe, in the middle, right there in the middle, that kind of connects the two. Where God is bringing you or is transforming you or allowing you to realize what He has called you to be, so to speak, and where you were. And verse 10 is this, I will say, transitional verse that reminds us that we're a work in progress. That, yes, we have all the things at the end of Ephesians chapter 8. We are all those things in God's eyes. But if you're like me, here's the problem. I don't feel like I am all the time a fellow citizen with the saints. Do you? Nope. I mean, a household of God. Okay, I am a born-again believer, but I mean, that's like, how about this one? Built upon the foundation, the apostles and prophets. Wow, that's pretty heavy. And sometimes we don't feel like we're there, do we? No. And so we need to be reminded that God's not done with us yet. God does have a plan for us, and God has, and I'm not saying that we are not currently, in His view, all of these things, because the reality is we are all these things from God's viewpoint, because He knows the end. He knows where He's taking us. He knows the finished product. He is the great sculptor. He is the great master builder that sees the finished product in His mind. And even though we might not be where He wants to bring us, He has exactly in mind where we're going to, you know, what we need to be. And I love the fact that it's something He's making, not something that we're making. Let's get to that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And let's just dissect this verse for a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and this thing should work, right? Survey says no. Maybe did I do something? It's my fault, I'm sure. We're off. Let's try this. Whoa, there we go. Wonderful. There we go. For, here it is. You can read it on the screen. You can read it in your Bible. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should, here's the thing, walk in them. We're going to spend the next several minutes just on this one verse. We're going to look at transitional, we're going to look at this transitional verse, and we're going to bring another scripture, but we're going to pretty much dwell on this verse this morning. Now, let's talk about this work in progress. And you've got to understand that we are not talking about that salvation is a work in progress. Now, let me say it again. Salvation is not a work in progress, okay? Salvation is a one-time act. It's a judicial act when we trust Jesus Christ by faith. When we realize we're sinners, we realize that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sin. We look to his sacrifice. We trust in him by faith. That is biblical salvation. That is the only way to gain eternal life. Okay. We're not talking about salvation being progressive. Okay. That is not what we're saying. Years ago, I was talking with people in a community, and I came across a catechism professor. And I started talking to this professor about, you know, Ephesians chapter 2, which is pretty clear that salvation is not by good works. It's not by the good deeds we do. But that catechism professor went right to Ephesians 2:10 and said, well, aren't we his workmanship? Isn't God working through us these works so that we could actually have eternal life one day? And I realized in that moment that the devil looks at Ephesians 2:8-9 and has a spin on it. It seems so clear to us that obviously, how could you believe in works-based salvation when you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10? It doesn't make sense, but the devil has a spin on that too. And I realize that we need to be very clear when we're talking about salvation and specifically dealing with verses that deal with good works and make sure everybody's on the same page. Good works are not a requirement for salvation, but they are a result. They are. So our salvation is not a work in progress. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking more about the sanctification process, aren't we? The fact that God is not trying to make us a better us. Throw away the nonsense that God has saved you just so you could be a better you. It's not true. He's not conforming you into you. He's conforming us into his Son. He has a higher goal for us. He has a better, you can say, destiny than we could even imagine. And so here we have this verse that kind of illustrates that we are not saved by good works, but we are God's workmanship. So what does that mean? Well, let's take a look at it. Paul begins this verse saying we are, well, create, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, what does the word workmanship mean? Have you ever done a deep dive on this word workmanship? Maybe it's something that he is building. Well, you could say that. But it really has to do more with the artist style or connotation. The word that we get the word poem from actually is this word. So when we think of this word workmanship, it is really more of a literary type masterpiece. It's more of a story that he is writing. It's more of a narrative that he is developing. And it's not just a normal narrative. It's not just we were at Goodwill yesterday and we were looking at all the DVDs on the shelf at Goodwill. And if you are, I'm sorry, it wasn't Goodwill, it was the dollar store. We were looking at the DVDs at the dollar store. Now, if you are a DVD at the dollar store, you know you have missed the mark. You know as a production company, you are in really big trouble if your DVD ends up as a dollar movie at the dollar store in new condition, right? That's not the type of masterpiece that God is making. It is a, you could say, magnum opus type of thing. He is making us to be a masterpiece that is so far out of what we would consider being perfect, because he is perfect and he does everything perfect. And he's developing us into, I'm not saying a perfect person, I'm saying he's developing us into the masterpiece that he is has created us to be. When we take time to study a passage, we need to look at words. And this word workmanship does make us this magnum opus. In other words, Paul is saying that the redeemed saints of God are God's masterpieces. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thought? You could say saints are his greatest achievement, so to speak. The saint of God is the work of a master potter. The saint of God is the greatest letter ever written by the hand of the master author. The redeemed saints of God are the result of God's loving work and industry. And we are saved because he took a shapeless dead clay of our lives, right? We were dead in trespasses of sins in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And he what? Quickened us. Made us alive. Who did that? Our master. Who's forming us. Yeah. Here's this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, when we see this, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. This word wrought in that verse means to fashion, to kind of work with, to mold like a piece of clay. Stop and think about it. We are the raw materials that God has to work with when he saves sinners to change lives. And when you think about the sinners he works with and changes and makes so that they can be conformed into the image of his son, that's a pretty amazing feat if you look back at your life like I do and say, wow, I'm nobody that has intrinsic worth or value, but God gives me everything, everything, everything that I could never attain myself. We're his workmanship, aren't we? We're his workmanship in progress. No artist paints a painting, though, and hangs it in a closet, do they? Well, I guess some of them did, weirdos. But most people, they paint a painting, and they really want people to what? See the art, don't they? You could say no sculptor fashions a sculpture to hide it in an unseen place. No writer pens a literary work so nobody reads it. And just like all these human illustrations, God wants his people, his words, his masterpieces to be on display. And this is so important because you might not feel like you're worth being on display for God. And one of the things that is encouraging to me is God says, well, where you are right now with what you're working on right now is something that we can use to bring God glory. And then the next level that you get because you continue to depend on the Lord and you let him work with you and you do as the song that we sang, I surrender all, and you keep on surrendering and keep on letting God mold you and work on you and conform you into the image of his son. Hey, listen, it is a work in progress. And God allows us to be used at different points of that progress. And this is the wonderful thing about being involved in a thing called church. There are ways to be used in a church ministry for God's glory. Not all of you have to be holding, you know, degrees and things like that in being able to dictate the word of God, but you do have gifts, spiritual gifts that God has given you to be used wherever you are in your process of being, well, made a masterpiece. You can be used. And this is the blessing of having ministries in church and opportunities in church that we really need to be involved with, because you don't have to be the main teacher or the main speaker, but God can use your spiritual gift to really help another person, could be a child, to really advance to the next level spiritually in their life. That's God's plan. When we talk about how God wants to use us in the progress of making us the masterpiece he is conforming us into, he still wants to use us. In other words, God knows we're not the finished product, but he still wants to use us. Now, that is an amazing difference about how God works in people. God knows where we're going to end up. God knows that he has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 29. So he knows where he's taking us. And we know, according to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that he that hath begun a good work in you will be faithful, what? To complete it. So he knows he's going to complete it, but he's willing to use us in the process. So don't sit there ever and think, well, I can't be used by God because I'm not finished yet. Because you'll never be finished enough in your mind to be used by God. But in God's mind, if he's calling you to be used, then get going. Because he wants to use you right where you are with the process that you've allowed him to do in your life to this point. Workmanship and process. You are, another verse, another supporting verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Paul says, ye are our epistle to the Corinthian church, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. That's an exciting verse. We could just preach a whole message off of that verse. But I'm just going to take one phrase of this verse. You are the epistle. In other words, Paul was saying, listen, you are communicating. You are what people are seeing, what people are learning from, what people are growing from. That's a pretty amazing thought, especially for people that might say, well, we're not finished yet. Yeah. Very few artists will let you see their painting before it's finished, right? Very few sculptors will let you see what's going on in, you know, with their sculpture until it's ready. And no author is going to let you just read portions of the manuscripts unless you have to. But God says, get going at being what I've called you to be, where you are. It was author Kent Hughes who wrote a book, and in that book, on the book of Ephesians, he made this illustration. He said, Michelangelo was once asked what he was doing as he chipped away at a shapeless rock. And in this illustration, he said, Michelangelo replied, I'm liberating an angel from this stone. Okay. But a sculptor like Michelangelo could probably say that, because in his mind, that stone was not just a rock, was it? It was something that had potential. We are in the hands of the great maker, aren't we? And the ultimate sculptor who created the universe out of nothing. And he's never yet thrown away a rock, which he's begun to work on. Did you know that? So what I see in this verse is not just that God is working on us, but that God sees our potential. Isn't that what creators do? They see the potential before other people see the potential. I mean, we look at this next thought that we are his workmanship, and here's the word, created. God is working. He's creating us. Now you say he's made us physically, yes. If you're a human being, he formed you out of the dust of the ground, breathing your nostrils the breath of life. Obviously, God has created us physically, and when you became a child of God, God quickened your spirit, and now you're alive spiritually. Praise the Lord for that. But God's not done yet. If God was done, he would just beam us up to heaven, and that would be the end of it, right? Get saved, go to glory. We go right from justification to glorification. Bam, done. But God desired us to go through this process of sanctification. And God's engineering this process, by the way. God's working through us in this process. God is forgiving us in this process. God is molding us in this process. And he's creating, and this is key, child of God, he's creating something out of nothing. That's what creators do, don't they? That's why I like to really help people know God has the value and the worth that you need in his mind. He actually knows that value and worth before we know it. Kind of like the video we saw right from the beginning of our service today, right? The world may look at us and devalue us. The world may look at us and say we're worthless. The world may look at us and bully us into an unhealthy mental position. God looks at us and says, no, I know your worth. I know your value. How do I know? Because I'm the one that's doing it. Because I'm the one that's making it and transforming it. The world might not like what it looks like, but they've never had the right, you could say, opinion about most things. So who do we need to look to find our true worth and true value? It's to the Lord, to the Bible, to the truth of God's Word. Boy, if there's one thing that young people need in our culture today is to know their value and their worth comes from God. Comes from God. I'm all thankful for parents that also instill value and worth from their perspective into their children's life. That is perfect, and please do that. But you should also be teaching your child that you're not just valued in love because I value and love you. You're valued in love because God values you and loves you. Because you are that special, that God loves you so much that he made you and he put us in your family, and this is wonderful that God loves you. Boy, that's what we need in our families. But we get back to what we have here with created in Christ Jesus. Now, when a sinner is saved, it's the greatest of all miracles, this demonstration of God's creative power. When a sinner is transformed from darkness to light. And what does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? That if any man be in Christ, he is a what kind of creature? New creature, right? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become, once again, here's the word, new. That's the work of a creator, isn't it? Creators make things that are new. You might be known as an innovator, but innovators, you know, they just, I guess you could say, make things better that were created. But people that create things, that's pretty amazing. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to hold in my hands one of the very first prototypes of a firearm that had ever been produced. It was literally the one that they presented to the engineers. The engineers presented before they made a huge, they made it into production. That's the word I'm going for. That was the prototype I was holding in my hand that they had fashioned. I thought to myself, whoa, this is super cool. I'm literally holding in my hands the idea that was passed so that many more people could have this same replica of this, so to speak. And here's the thing. That's the special thing about creations. And let me just say this. Every single one of us are created to be distinct and unique. And a special creation. Here's where, well, a lot of churches miss it. They try to take this new creature and make them all the same thing. Right? You ever been in a church like that where you got to be the same? If you're not the same, you're not welcome. Right? Now, I'm not saying we should stray outside what the Bible says, the biblical principles say. I mean, if you want to find the way you should live your life, look in the Bible. Take your commands from the Bible. That's extremely important. But what I'm saying is, look at the Bible and see that there is variety in how God is, well, how God has created things. I look throughout nature and you see God's creation is very, it's amazingly diverse. And God's creation of the church has a lot of people that are diverse. I mean, goodness, if you're trying to be the next, you know, pick somebody in the room that's a spiritual leader here. I want to be just like them. And the Bible says, no, don't be just like them. Paul said, don't be like me. You can follow me, but remember, we're following Christ. Be like him. New creatures. And so we have these new creatures that are trying to conform to another creature that God has already made and already, you know, that is there. That's what God's made them. So it's okay to be what God's made you within the, you can say, the confines of the Word of God. Okay? So This workmanship is not just something that is all going to be the same, you know, look, same way, same. No, there are distinctions and there are things that we all do because we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, right? So we have one, 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 one. But we're not all the same, are we? And you know what? In some churches, that's not okay. But in hope, this church, because I see it growing and I see what God's doing, you know, differences are okay. Doctrine is doctrine. We don't fudge that. We don't try to change that. But, you know, certain things, it's okay to do things a different way. We are created in Christ Jesus. But don't miss this because we need to keep on going. We are created unto good works in Christ Jesus, unto good works. So let's just dwell on in Christ Jesus for a second here because we can't miss this. We are created in Christ Jesus. The words in Christ Jesus reminds us that the basis of this, you can say, writing or the basis of this sculpture or the basis of this magnum opus is who? Jesus. The foundation of it is. When God makes a new creature out of a dead sinner, he does it in Christ Jesus. And that's why we make a big deal about Jesus. Because he is the chief corner, isn't he? He is the one, the foundation, and he is the one that is mentioned in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And that's directly referring to Jesus Christ. So all of us are created in Christ Jesus. And the only way a sinner can be saved, and if you're here today without Christ, the only way for eternal life is by believing that Jesus Christ came and died for you. And that he literally died for your sin, for my sin. He did that because he loves us. And he wants us to be with him for all eternity. And that's something that if you've never done, this is something you need to do as soon as possible. Accept Jesus Christ to be your Savior, we say, or to forgive you of your sin and to make you a child of God. That is where we know we can go back to the 4 of this verse. It is written in reference to verses 8 and 9. This is what we're talking about. Salvation by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. This is that gift through Jesus Christ, isn't it? Eternal life. Now, here's where it gets sometimes confusing to people that believe in works-based theology, because we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Does that mean we have to do good works so that we stay in Christ Jesus? Well, biblically, according to God's word, because you did nothing to become a child of God, in other words, Jesus Christ died for you, he did all the work, all you did is accept what he had already done, there really is nothing you can do to lose your salvation or to not do that you would not be able to be looked at as somebody of value in God's eyes. So you don't have to do good works to stay saved. So why are the good works necessary? If they're not necessary for salvation, if they're not necessary to keep being saved, why are they necessary? Well, I'm glad you asked. You didn't really, but I'm glad we're going to go there. This verse is very clear that God, okay, has really put this in our plan for our life, that we should demonstrate good works. And once again, this goes back to why we're a masterpiece in progress and why God wants to use us, because the works that we do to help other people really give them a clue of who, what God can do in their life. Let's be real. You have family members, you have friends, you have neighbors, you have people in your circle of influence that know you, right? They know some things about you. They know maybe your history. They maybe have been a friend for that long where they actually have great knowledge of who your family is and where you grew up and all these things. And now they see this transformation in you. And you're different. And you're authentically trying to develop a relationship with God, and that's curious to them. Now, if you're the way God wants you to be, and he's trying to work this in progress, as he's trying to form you and develop you, God wants you to demonstrate these good works, not for salvation, but so that other people can see the work that God is doing through you so they can get a clue that God is wanting to do the same thing through them. This is why it's super important that we don't diminish the need for good works or doing good things in our Christianity. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, absolutely. But church, if all you have is an internal faith, then that's not going to help anybody on the external, is it? If all we possess is something that God sees and nobody else, then are we truly being the ambassadors that we ought to be, that He's made us to be, that He's transforming us to be? The answer is no, we can't. What does the Bible say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, right? This whole portion of ye are the light of the world, right? Let your light so shine before men, right, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Boy, this is putting scripture with scripture and bringing it together. In other words, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 is saying, you are saved by grace through faith. You are His masterpiece. He is molding you in Christ Jesus, created new work so that you can actually do good works and draw people to the Master, to the one who can make their life a masterpiece. Oh, the child of God needs to dwell on this. The child of God needs to understand that we have not arrived yet, but we can help people in the process. We'll continue here. We have several more thoughts, but we'll go right to the fact that we have now a walk in progress. And I'll see our text verse here, and then we will talk about the works. See, I'm behind on my own slides. Oh, this is a good verse. Don't forget about this one. How about this when it comes to fruit? You ever actually look at people and say, well, I don't know if I see the fruit of your Christianity. Now, be careful with that because God needs to see the fruit a lot of times. We can try to look, but if you look at your job as, you know, the official fruit inspector of Christianity, then good luck. That's a very discouraging job, okay? Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Let's look at the next couple of verses. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Yeah, that's so important that God, Jesus, said these words to His disciples so that they would realize that you do need to have outward manifestation of what you're believing internally. We could go way more into that, but how are your works, so to speak? Are you doing the things that can evidence the masterpiece that God is making? There is a work in progress, but there is a walk in progress. Listen, church, it's a progressive thing. We are walking, not by faith, but by sight. And this is so key to this, you could say, connector verse between these two portions of Ephesians chapter 2. You are a work in progress, but you don't sit there and just let God work in you. That's what we kind of look at and think of when we think of a masterpiece, like a sculpture or a document that's being written by some great author. It just sits there on their table, their writing table. It just stays in their studio, and it just stays there under lock and key, you know, while the artist does stuff. That's not the way God is working here. When God is working on you, He wants you to walk, to show everybody, walk with the progress that God's making in your life. We need to walk in progress, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, God has a process He is doing in your life. He is making a masterpiece, and here's our job. He has preordained it. In other words, He's got it done. He knows exactly what it's going to be. He's got it all done in the future. He knows exactly that you will one day be conformed into the image of His Son. But don't let that thought keep you from walking in the present to let people see what God is doing. Because it's that amazing. Because what God's doing in our life is so amazing that even in different stages of what he's doing, it needs to be displayed to our friends and our neighbors and our family and all those who need to hear about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Boy, you might be afraid of what we call confrontational evangelism, you know, walking up to somebody and say, you know, if you died right now, I'm not opposed to that. Sure, that's a good question. Where would you go? That's a wonderful question. How about, though, hey, brother, you kind of know how I grew up. You knew how I lived. You knew some of the things I did as a younger person. Can I take some time to show you how I'm different now? And it's not because of me. God's doing some things in me. God's working on me. And I'm not here to shove it down your throat. I'm just here to say, I want you to know, if you just watch, you'll see that I'm different now. I'm a new creature in Christ. And you know what's going to happen to that brother or sister or neighbor or friend? They might start to look and they might start to say, wow, I need what you have. And then they might actually ask, what makes you different? And then you can say, it's not me. It's what Jesus has done in me. And you'll be prepared to give an answer, right, of the hope that lieth in you in meekness and fear, right? I mean, that's it. Here's what I'm trying to get to this morning. None of us have arrived yet. That's okay. And if you think you have to arrive before being used by God, that's not the way it works. God says, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that, you know, God's ordained that you should walk in them. So let's get walking. Let's get going. Let's get on display, so to speak. You ever hear that song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be? It's a children's song. Maybe I'll teach it to your children one day. I don't know. I love it because it brings in this. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. And then I love this part. How lovingly patient he must be because he's still working on me. And we get kind of down on ourselves sometime about that. That's taken God so long to actually make me into it. And God says, I'm not the one down on this. No, you are. I know exactly where you are. I know exactly where you're going to be. Just surrender. Just have a relationship with me that values what I want for you to become. And let that work in you. I think that we have so many things that we put on our own selves that sometimes can hinder us, that can sometimes keep us from being what God wants us to be. And here's the change that we can release. Let God just work at his stage in your life. Surrender to him. Let that work be on display. Ye are his workmanship. He's not done with you. He's not finished with you. And when he is finished with you, all of us, when we stand there in glory and when we're glorified, are going to be amazed at what God did with us. You know what that's going to do? It's going to cause us to take our crowns and cast them at his feet. Because we're going to have a great understanding at that point that everything that was done in our life and everything that was accomplished in our life was not but because of us. It was because of the Master who created a masterpiece. And you and I might not like the progress that we've attained. So if you're one of those people, then maybe you do need to fix some things. Maybe there is some sin in your life. Maybe there is some disconnect with God right now because there's something between you and him. Maybe there are some things you need to work on. Well, if the Holy Spirit illuminates that to you, then take care of it. Because there's nothing better than being exactly where you need to be in God's process. So be that. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much that we could have a verse that really explains the progression that you have in our lives and that we are not just to take that progression and veil it, but we are to display it so that people can see what God is doing, not what God has done, but what God is doing, so that we can be a great representation of how you can work in their lives too. Lord, we have so many people that are looking at us, and we might not even know it. As parents, we know our children are looking at us. As family members, we know younger family are looking at us, or brothers and sisters. But Lord, even at work, people who know we're Christians are looking at us to see how we're different. Help us to not be paralyzed by that thought. Help us to just display what you have done in our lives in the progress and be thankful that we're not where we were. You're continually working in us to make us what you have determined us to be. Help us to be able to do that.